What?
There's probably up to 50 dead people down in here. Who the f, you know what I'm saying, has 50 bad dead people in their house in the middle of nowhere? What are they doing down here?
Tonight, we are discussing Satan's Revenge, which is season 4, episode 5, originally aired on August 9th, 2014. And Megan picked this one. This came from our spreadsheet that where we were asking for recommendations. Mm-hmm. So, Megan, can you tell us how you chose this one?
Zoe, are you okay? Zoe recommended this, our buddy, buddy Zoe.
Yeah.
And she recommended this, and I just, do you need a hug? Like, this was a doozy of an episode.
Yeah, you like it this
was,
one?
It was very good. It was very, very good.
It was.
There's a lot of content warnings. We have child assaults. We have miscarriage. We have suicide. We have PTSD. We have, what else do we have?
Child death in history and present.
Child death in history.
She didn't say necessarily that was a miscarriage. She just said, I lost a baby in this house. So it could have been a baby that was already born. It could have been a miscarriage. Either way. Nightmares of abuse from sexual abuse of a child, suicide, PTSD, self-harm. That's what I got.
Yep. So great. Enjoy.
All in one big bundle.
It was a really good episode. I will say, like, the family is very sweet. There was
really
a lot of good
family
sketches. Amy did great, but it was like, I wonder if the producers were like, how many things can we jam into one episode?
Yeah.
And they were like, bet, as the kids say.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
So it was Zoe recommended this. Thank you so much, Zoe. And also, are you okay? Just kidding. We love Zoe.
We do love Zoe. I hope she's okay. But it was a really good episode. So I can see why she recommended it. And we have a lot of bingo things on there, too. So patrons,
buckle up.
Get those bingo cards ready.
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy.
Enjoy the show. Sorry. I just got like a crazy headache. It's better now, but...
Good. Was it a woodpecker of a headache?
It was a woodpecker of a headache. I wish I should go put my shirt on, but Jordan's up there and he'll attach onto me like fucking fungus.
Don't worry. I'm wearing it. Anyone who's watching the video version can see I'm wearing
our new shirt. Okay, well, Amy just flashed me her chest and I was not prepared for it.
You didn't see anything. You didn't see any titties or anything.
No. It is very cute shirt, though.
So, Morgan and I worked on that. My idea, Morgan's art. And it's from Megan's joke. It was Megan's joke. This was from a couple episodes before our last one last season with Diana. Mm-hmm. When she mentioned that she had a thought, I wonder if woodpeckers get headaches from like all that banging.
Yeah.
And so then we discussed it. She said, it's like, woodpeckers probably do get really bad headaches. And so
it's a woodpecker of a headache.
And so I created an ad for a tonic, I think it is. I think it's a tonic that gets rid of a real bad headache, even a woodpecker of a headache.
Yeah. So your goal in 2026, everybody, is to make a woodpecker of a headache a saying.
Yeah. Work on that. Buy the shirt. Links are in the show notes.
I've got a woodpecker of a headache.
That's right. Send us pictures of yourself in your t-shirts with your headaches. Anyway, we didn't really start, but we probably should. You froze. Oh, there you go.
Did. There we go.
You froze for a sec.
Yeah, I did.
That was weird.
Yeah. It does make sense that I froze because it's fucking cold here.
It is so goddamn cold. And this isn't even the worst of it. Today was not that bad, actually.
No. And I'm looking at it, it says it's 31 degrees. And I'm like, that's actually not that bad.
Yeah. Well, when I thought it was really like, I'm like, I thought it was supposed to be like below zero today. And I was in my car and it said it was 18. And I was like, it feels more like 30. It really didn't feel that cold. But it's been cold. And tonight, it's already starting. Tonight, it's going to be down to like 20 below and it's going to feel like 45 below because of the wind. So
yeah,
we're not going anywhere for
it's not the wind that'll get you.
Yeah.
And also my computer's wrong because it's not 31 degrees out. It's 14 and it feels like negative two.
Yeah, that sounds more like right because it was
extreme cold watch.
Yeah.
And I sent it to my friends and my friend in the Middle East and she was like, how are you functioning? I'm like, we don't.
We have heat in the house and we just don't.
Her husband is always like blown away by the temperatures because they're in Celsius. So I have to change it to Celsius.
Yeah.
And they just, he can't understand it. He just gets blown away by it. I'm like, yeah, no, yeah.
It's unbelievably cold. It's sometimes terrible. It also gets unbelievably hot, which
doesn't make sense to anybody.
I don't like that. I don't like
that. We are slightly colder than St. Petersburg, Russia right now.
I usually compare it to Siberia.
I try to compare it to Antarctica, but my phone, I must not be, you know, typing in the area right because Antarctica never comes up. But St. Petersburg, Russia right now, it's 16 degrees and it feels like 12. Mm. Here in Minnesota, it's 14 degrees and it feels like -2. Mm-hmm. So that's Russia right. is having a better time of it than we are right now.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Oh,
did you have something?
No, I don't have ever anything.
Ever?
I barely made it here and I only had to come from the couch. So,
All right.
I barely made it.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Thank you.
And
it was long. I was under my heated blanket and I was like, God damn it. I don't want to get up.
Yeah.
I had that bitch crank. Usually I only have it to about 3.
Yeah.
It was at 5 tonight. And then this afternoon when I laid down at lunch, it was at 6.
What does it go up to?
6 is the highest number. And then after 6, it says high.
Oh.
So I got it off the TikTok shop.
Yeah. How many is that now? Because you keep buying them and they keep dying.
You know what? We don't need to talk about how many it is. It's 4.
It's 4. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I know you told us that last time.
If anyone has tips on how to wash them, because I never dry them. I never dry them. And they never work after I wash them.
Are you sure
them.
You're not supposed to take the cord out? Because I can't imagine the cord's supposed to get wet.
I do take the cord out.
Oh, okay. Then I don't know. Well,
Ben's
I'm not
like,
sure.
What's that clunking? I'm like, it's the whole switch for my electric blanket is in there. He's like, I don't think it should be in there. I'm like, I'm following directions, John. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, I don't take the cord. I don't put the cord in there. Give me a little credit.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I've never had an electric blanket, so I don't know if they're supposed to take the cord out.
You are missing out.
I don't like being hot.
That's fair.
Girl, I sleep with the window open.
You are
all winter.
I will sleep with the fan on.
I sleep with the fan on and the window open.
You are insane.
I didn't last night.
I don't understand.
I won't tonight. But I will definitely become overheated tonight. And I will, for a second, probably crank the window and then close it right back up.
Yeah.
Just got to get some cold in there.
Just got to get just a little breeze.
Just a little breeze.
Just a little breeze. Do you sleep with socks on?
No.
Okay. Thank God.
No. I don't like that.
I don't understand people who, that makes me so uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable. Fucking I know it's, I had read it. That you're supposed to sleep with socks on to sleep better through the night. And I always get up in the middle of the night.
I fucking hate it.
So I do. I had tried it, but it makes me feel like my feet are being muzzled.
Constricted. Yes.
I don't like it.
Yes.
I don't like socks anyway. All summer, I don't wear socks. I only wear socks in the winter.
Who wears socks in summer?
Yeah.
Summer is not a sock time.
I don't like socks or shoes. I'm kicking them off the second I get in the house. I just don't like wearing anything on my
feet. I don't mind
feet.
Socks in the summer. I mean, in the winter, not the summer.
Yeah. Gross. I don't really mind them either because my feet do get cold. But no, I can't sleep in them.
No, that should be a crime. That should be a crime against the Lord.
I mean, if some people like it, go ahead. But
that's fair. Yeah, I don't want to yuck anyone's yum. You're right. If you know what, if you like sleeping with socks on, I'm sorry. I don't mean that. If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad, according to Sheryl Crow.
That's
what she said. Yeah. So, and who are she we did. To doubt Sheryl?
Sheryl knows everything.
From your lips to God's ears.
That's right.
Or Cheryl's ears. Whose ears?
Yeah.
Someone's. I don't know. What are we doing?
All right. We're going to actually start now, even though we had 3 fake starts. And by the way, if you like this kind of nonsense jibber jabber, you really should join our Patreon because we do a whole half hour to an hour of it after we record. And patrons get to hear that. So
yeah,
just
it's
in case.
Super duper funny.
Yeah.
So
and then we have some good conversations on Patreon.
Yeah.
Based on what Megan and I talked about.
Yeah.
Or argued about socks or no socks. you know.
We didn't argue about that.
We didn't. We agree on that one.
We agree on that one. But if you like it, I'm not trying to yuck your yum. That's right. It's just not for me.
Right. You neither.
But you do you.
Please. Please, you do you.
Please, you do you, and your feet can be constricted in whatever garments you want them to be.
If you like that, go for it.
But you know what? I think I'd be okay with footy pajamas, which is weird.
I love wearing footy pajamas, but I can't sleep in them.
I don't know if I've ever worn footy pajamas.
I got a pair of big grown-up ones. And they are so hot.
Are they?
I'm like miserable after like 10 minutes. So they're cute, but I can't wear them for any length of time. All right, really, we're going to start now.
Okay, I promise.
Okay, really? Okay. Oh. Okay. Welcome back, everyone. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing Satan's Revenge. Megan is here with your overview. Take it away.
Hello, everybody. In Satan's Revenge, Steve and Amy travel to Leslie, Michigan to help a family who believes their dream home has become anything but. The family reports extreme and violent paranormal experiences inside the house, experiences so frightening they feel they may be driven to the brink of insanity, and they fear for their safety. Steve dives into the history of the property and its previous owners, uncovering dark and unsettling pasts, including a man who suffered a mental breakdown and another man described as an adulterous lecher. These troubled histories raise questions about whether past events have left a lingering imprint on the home and might explain the disturbing phenomena reported by the current residents. During her walk through the home, Amy's method of physically sensing and interacting with the spirit world, she encounters a massive shadowy creature that appears to torment the occupants mentally and emotionally. She also picks up on the presence of a dead man with violent intentions, suggesting the entity may be capable of physical harm or intense psychological pressure. The investigation in Satan's Revenge is one of the more intense and unnerving, with both historical research and psychic impressions pointing to the powerful, hostile forces affecting the family. Will Michelle and her family be able to break free of these spirits, or will they need to abandon the house and flee for their lives? Stay tuned to see if the activity continues. This one was a good one.
It had a lot, didn't it? I mean, it was one thing after another.
I know. Like, talk about your bingo cards.
Yeah. I'm going to start making a list right now of all the trigger warnings.
I started to add them in the script, and I might have missed some of them.
Okay.
So we're in Leslie, Michigan. It's about a half hour outside of Lansing, and they must have gone there in, like, the dead of winter because there's snow. Steve's got his rubber gloves on, his leather gloves. not his rubber ones.
That's for a different thing.
That's for cleaning the dishes.
That's right.
Which I'm like, oh, Steve, where's the ring shot? We can't have that.
There is one, but it's later.
It's later. It's not in the car. At the beginning.
I think it's when he's investigating.
Yeah, it is.
It's not in the car.
And it's during one of the interviews.
Oh, yeah.
I believe they have one. Yeah. So Amy arrives and this is a tough walk almost from the get-go. You know, Amy's first words in the show are, oh, boy.
Yeah.
So the living people are weighted down. There's so much death here. It's really dark. It's not good. So we meet with Michelle, and she has, unrelated, the cutest earrings on.
She does.
They are very cute. And really cute. I loved her hair.
She had pretty hair too. So did her daughter. They had similar hair, but long and curly.
The way
I wish mine was.
Yes. Her and her daughter, like, were copy-paste. Like, her daughter was a spinning image of her.
Yep, she was.
So things have been going on. They've seen footsteps. Gee, I'm okay, you guys. I swear.
It's that woodpecker of a headache.
I'm not even boozing.
Yeah. Not this time.
They've seen apparitions. They've heard footsteps. And then, so that was just to start, you know, your run of the mill. Yep. But then last few years, it's gotten very physical. They get scratched, both her and her daughter. It seems to really be just attacking the women with, like, the scratches and bruises. So Michelle lives there with her husband, her 16-year-old daughter, and her 17-year-old son. But her son isn't interviewed. So I'm just wondering, I'm thinking it either didn't, like, do anything to him, or he just didn't want to be interviewed.
Or he was interviewed and they cut it.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Because remember, I think it was Laura. that we spoke to mm-hmm. who said that they had interviewed her husband's parents, or maybe it was her mm-hmm. parents. I think it was her husband's parents because it was their house.
Yeah.
And they, for whatever reason, they didn't air any of that interview. Yeah. They didn't. They were just cut out of the show completely. Yeah. So that could be what happened.
Maybe he didn't have enough crazy stuff happening.
Yeah. Or maybe he doesn't. Maybe it's like Steve and doesn't see anything. Yeah. But I kind of doubt it because it seemed like everybody in the house was sensitive.
And they Michelle showed a picture and Steve goes, is this your daughter? And I'm like, nope. I don't even know.
Steve,
she
use
just
your
photobombed us.
Yeah. Use your process of elimination tactics. Yeah.
So it, like, not only the scratches, but we've got Michelle gets debilitating headaches. She's had a lot of surgeries. She's had shoulder surgery.
Try that three times fast.
A hysterectomy. And she's lost a baby, you mm-hmm. guys. Like, this woman has fucking been through it. And that's just scratching the surface. We're not even...
Yeah.
We're not even getting to it yet.
Buckle up. It gets
worse. Like, this is a tough episode.
Yeah.
Really is. And Steve asks a good question. He's like, why don't you just move?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, this is a really nice house. Somebody would buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I love this house. I put my heart and soul into this house. And she's like, I hope that you're able to help us, which, like, bingo card.
Yeah. I forgot to put that as a bingo card, but yeah, bingo.
I just, this whole family is so sweet. You know, most of the time when there's people on, there's one person that we're like, well, this fucking dude or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
This whole family. I just want to wrap them in a big hug.
Yeah. I really like them all too.
So we go back to Amy and she said, oh my gosh, there's a living woman here. She's panicking. She has long brown hair and something's wrong with her heart. And so, you know, it's just, this whole walk for Amy was horrible.
Yeah.
So we go up to, I believe we're in the master bedroom, and Michelle's been attacked in this room. She's had scratches. She took a picture of it, which I can, you know, they're pretty faint, but you see them in the picture. And I just think it's a bad picture because they looked pretty clear.
Yeah. I mean, I could see where it was. At first, mm-hmm. all I could see was her cleavage. And I'm like, no, that's not what I'm supposed to be looking at. But it was up a little higher.
Yep.
And it looked like scratches that it didn't look fresh to me. It either looked like they were already
fading.
That's
a good way of saying it. Yeah.
Or maybe they just weren't that deep. I mean, they didn't look like they cut the skin, really.
They weren't very, like, red and angry.
Yeah.
Like you see, like, cat scratches or... Yeah. Something like that. But it does look, I mean, you can definitely see them, and it looks like they're like two, at least two.
Yeah. Possibly a third one up above, but I'm not sure.
Steve's like, do you remember scratching yourself?
If I did, do you think I would?
She's like, oh my God. Wow. Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
You know, I was scratching myself like a dog, and then I just forgot. And Steve's like, Amy's going to want to see this. Do you mind if I hold on to it for a little bit?
Yeah. And I was like, you're not going to show that to her ahead of time, are you? Because I know it's for the reveal. I assume it's for the reveal. But if he's walking around with it, he could show it to her anytime.
Yeah.
We're supposed to believe they don't talk to each other.
And honestly, if it is at the reveal, couldn't he have just told Michelle to bring it to the reveal?
Exactly. Or production would have taken it and put it in a package to be set at the table at the time.
Yeah.
So I think it was weird that it made it sound to me like he was going to run and show it to her right now.
Or maybe it was just to show us that the people give them permission to show I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
That could be. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I just work here.
We don't know anything.
No, we don't. And then
we don't work at the Dead Files. We just make fun of them.
No. They asked me to, and dang it, I said no. Boy, is my face red.
I would have loved to be a researcher on the Dead Files. I'm just saying.
You would be really good at
that. I would love that. It'd be so much fun.
Yeah. Michelle hears footsteps, and shortly after, a shadow will appear walking down the stair over to the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she would describe it like a man, but a black mass, and I know it's taller than I am. And then Steve goes, you're not on any medication or anything. And I was like, Steve, you boozing? And she's like, no, I'm not on medication. And he goes, you drink right before you go to bed? She goes, no. I'm like, I know what he's doing. Like, I get he's asking it, but like, come on. Then we go back to Amy, and she's like, whoa. And Matt's like, what's going on? And she's like, there's a really big shadow person here, a shadow being. It doesn't even have a face. It's really tall. It's really big. And she said, I don't like it. It's not good. It's trying to make me go up the stairs. It's like crawling oddly down the hall. And she said, it gets really bad at night. This thing tortures her. It's no sleeping, no sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want to note that I'm going to put stairs on the bingo card because we have a lot of episodes mm-hmm. where there's something going on in the stairs.
Yeah,
where people
or up
are
and down
falling
the stairs.
Down the stairs
yeah.
or running up and down the stairs. So I'm putting
getting
that on the bingo card.
Pushed down the stairs like That's last right. episode.
Yeah.
And Amy, you had a really good note that I think of all the time is you can't imagine what she sees.
I was, you know, when she was explaining all of this and she's freaking out a little bit,
yes.
like in the part where she says, it's like trying to make me follow it up the stairs. She's talking to Matt. She's got her finger in her mouth and she's like, it's trying to make me follow it up the stairs. Like her voice was kind of cracking and she was like, it's really weird. And
it made me think of a little girl, like a scared little girl.
Yeah. And I just thought I was like trying to picture what I would feel. I was trying to picture what it would be like to see that stuff in as a medium like her seeing things like that all the time. And I just thought I can't imagine seeing all the things that she sees. I mean, no wonder she has PTSD.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the stuff that she sees is and hears and is touched by is horrific and
horrendous.
I would not want to be in her position. I would not want to have the abilities that she has to that extent. Because that, as much as I would love to be able to talk to ghosts, not those kind.
Yeah. I mean, you don't, you know, we think about, oh my God, it'd be so fun. But there's aspects of it that we don't think about like this. Like she sees demons and she sees devil creatures and she sees people who are evil in real life. And it's not all fun and games. It's not all talking to grandma. You know, it's scary shit.
Yeah.
No wonder she quit.
Yeah. No wonder she quit. You can put protection over yourself and just not see the bad stuff. You know, you can have it not allow it to get to you.
Right.
But Amy's job doesn't allow her to do that because her job is to go in and actually
find
talk
the bad. Find it.
Find all of them, good and bad.
Uh-huh.
And so she can't go in there saying, only positive spirits can talk to me today, because that's not going to help the client, because usually it's a bad one that's bothering the client. Yep. So, I just feel bad for her.
So here we go. We're back in the master bedroom. She has repeated nightmares. She will have bruises on her thighs in the shape of fingerprints. And this is when we are informed that she was sexually assaulted as a child.
Yep.
So when she was 3 or 4, she was chased around by a babysitter who would strip naked and chase her around the house.
Gross.
And then she said most of the time she would hide under a bed from him, 3 or 4 years old. And he would drag her out by her ankles and assault her.
No.
So that's terrible.
Yeah.
And she starts crying and she said, I told myself not to cry. And Steve
How
is like,
not?
Yeah. And Steve goes, how often did this happen? Like, did it happen one time? I hope so. And she said, nope. I was left with him on several occasions. And of course, he never got arrested for it. Mm-mm. He died by suicide as a teenager. And I hope he's in a terrible place. She was a baby, 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Not that it's ever good, obviously, but like a baby. She's nothing has wrecked her world. She's innocent. She's supposed to be innocent, you know, and it's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. And this is not the first time that sort of thing is going to come up today. So
yeah, that this is a tough one.
Comes up in history as well.
Super great. So we go back to Amy and she said, it's the woman again. Something happened to her. Amy said, I don't know, like if she was physically abused or something. And because of this experience, maybe she opened because she has abilities. So like this experience caused her to either caused her or helped her get experience or abilities.
Yeah. Or to open up to them, I think is what she was saying. So that's going to be on the bingo card too. The client has abilities.
Yeah. And so there's a creepy guy here in the house. And this woman in particular, she's aware that he does bad things. And Matt says, well, do you know when he's from? And Amy said he's not from that long ago. He's focused on the suicide. I think he killed himself, and I think he would want to make others kill themselves. His end game is death. So it's not great.
No, that's not great at all.
So now we're with Daniel, and buckle up for this guy, because talking to your wife, both her and your daughter going through that, that would drive me to want to shoot somebody. And Daniel's like, I do want to shoot somebody, but there's no one to shoot, Steve. And I'm like, that's like stating the obvious. Like, if something is happening to your family, you're going to want to make it stop, but they can't make it stop. That's why you guys are here.
Yeah.
So he's asking, Steve asks Daniel, did you have any experiences? And Daniel said, yeah, I was out here with my son, Lucas. So they're in the garage. Mm-hmm. Bingo card. They're in the garage, which we haven't seen in a while.
We haven't seen that in a while. Put it on.
They were building something, Daniel and his son. He put a circular saw down to my right and Luke's eyes opened up. And at that point, he looked and the saw had levitated and went through his tennis shoes and cut off three toes. Mm-hmm. And then we see a picture of the toes back on.
No, I don't need to see that.
There's like a metal rod in his toes. It was horrendous.
It's really awful. Like, I didn't even... I did a screenshot of it, but I didn't put it in the script here, and I wasn't going to put it in our socials or anything. It's really gross. Mm-hmm. It's really gross.
Yeah.
And they didn't actually say, oh, look, I have a picture. He just hauled out the picture and showed it. So I wasn't...
We didn't even get a warning.
No, I didn't even know I should look away.
Yeah.
It was...
It's gruesome. It's really gruesome.
Yeah.
And Steve goes, you know, Dan, I mean, I've had friends that have hurt themselves pretty bad and they never want to admit that they made a mistake. And I'm like, first of all, toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with saying I fucked up and hurt myself.
Right.
Two, I don't think cutting off your toes counts as a mistake. Like, no.
He didn't do anything wrong. He set it down. It jumped up.
And cut his feet.
And cut his toes off. So... It's not like he sat there and cut his toes off and then went, whoopsie, that was an accident. I didn't mean to do that. You know, he did not make a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he even said, I'd tell you if I made a mistake.
Yeah. He's like, I'm the first one to say that.
I didn't place this down on my own foot.
Yeah. And Steve goes, is it possible you dropped it and it bounced?
I didn't think possibly. I don't know why a saw like that would bounce. I assume it's one of those... circular sauce, you know, the big kind.
Yeah.
So I also, it shouldn't be moving.
No.
But if it really fell, I suppose it wouldn't have to be moving. It could just cut through anyway.
I suppose.
The blade would just come down. But yeah, I mean, I did think it could have bounced. And then when Steve said it, I was like, I kind of thought that too.
I didn't think that, but you are more logical than me. Which that bar is low. So I mean, it's not much, but.
Yeah. I do believe the guy, though. I mean, I do believe that's what 100%. Happened, especially because his kid was there, too.
Yeah, 100%.
So I do wish they had interviewed the kid and interviewed him and left it in.
Yeah,
exactly.
So one thing that Dan said that I was really intrigued by is they've had a lot of people get hurt here. He said, we've had the leading tile guy in town. He cut his thumb off here. Numerous contractors have been hurt while working here. And I'm like, renovations. Mm-hmm. Classic way.
Ghosties don't like renovations.
Kick up those old spirits in the backyard.
Bingo card also.
Yeah. So creepy guy, Amy said, creepy guy stays in the corner, which anytime she talks about ghosts in the corner, it makes me think of the Blair Witch Project, which I know they're not ghosts, but that fucking terrified me.
Yep. Yep.
I hated that movie. I fucking hated it.
I loved it. Fucking scary, but I loved it.
It was fucking, I didn't sleep for a week after that. And then some guy in college thought it'd be really, because I watched it in college, thought it'd be really fun to leave a bundle of sticks tied outside my dorm room.
Oh, that's nice.
He was a douche. Mm-hmm. So creepy guy's in the corner. He's very disturbed. She calls him a creeper. And then she said, I see him coming up behind a living dude. And then the living guy's head is here. And then the creeper guy's dude is right there. And he's like whispering to him. And I'm like, well, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt's like, what's he telling him to do? And Amy's like, I think the creeper guy's telling the living guy to kill himself. Mm-hmm. And then Amy goes, holy shit. Mm-hmm. And Matt goes, what? And Amy's like, there's probably up to 50 dead people down in here. Mm-hmm. She goes, who the fuck, you know what I'm saying, has 50 bad dead people in their house in the middle of nowhere? Because these aren't all just normal dead people. They're all bad. They're all negative. And Amy's like, what the fuck? She goes, what are they doing down here? She goes, there's something wrong with these fucking people. She's like, this place is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So she has, that has got to be, like you said, the best sound clip of the year.
Yep.
Who the fuck, you know, has 50 bad dead people down here? In the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere.
And I'm like, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that, I'd have a nickel.
You would have a nickel.
I would have one whole nickel.
Yep.
And in this economy, that's not great. Then we meet Shayna, Michelle's daughter, again, spitting image of, and let me tell you what Shayna has going on. She gets scratched, same. She shows again a clip of her face. And again, it's like Michelle's where it's like heels. I mean, healed. What yeah, is it doesn't wrong look with super me tonight?
It's your woodpecker of a headache.
My woodpecker of a headache. Yeah, it looks, these are very, very faint, almost like sleep lines. Like that's what they look like.
It kind of looked to me like a rash too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But whatever, I'll believe them. If that's, if she says it scratches, it scratches.
Yeah. Then Steve goes, there's nothing sharp in your bed, like a zipper? And I'm like, yeah, because, well, she probably took her bed knives out to get washed.
Yeah, yeah.
And
we're not going to leave those
I just,
there.
A zipper? Come on, Steve. A zipper's not going to scratch you.
Probably not like that.
No.
And then when he says a pillowcase or anything that could have done this, I was picturing a regular pillowcase. And then I was like, dude, really? How sharp are pillowcases?
Yeah.
But then I remembered I realized he was talking about the zipper. I do have a pillowcase that has a zipper. But it's tucked under. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like you zip and then you flap the flap over.
You flap the flap.
You know, flap on the flap.
You flap, so, you zip, you flap the flap, a woodpecker of a headache. There you go. Bob's your
and
uncle.
No scratches.
No.
Yeah.
So she sees a shadow man in her room every night. But then this, I would never, ever, ever sleep in this room again. So she said, Steve goes, is there anything else happening? And she goes, my door. She said, it's either the bathroom door or my bedroom door. I will shut it and lock it so I feel safer. And it will shake and pound on it and try to get in.
No.
She said, sometimes I wake up and it will be happening.
No.
The no, way I would never set foot in that room again.
Yeah.
No, that is, no.
And you know, you can tell the difference. Like if you're like sleeping with a window that's partway open and it's really windy and it's jiggling a little, you can tell the difference between that and a cognizant being banging on, knocking,
pounding
or something,
on it, shaking
you know?
It. Or like it's if different. They have a dog, it's different than like, because we have two cats and they will paw at the room. And never do I think, holy shit, something's trying to get in my room.
Right.
So then we're back to Amy Allen and Amy, not Amy Allen.
I mean, it is Amy Allen.
It is Amy Allen, but I don't need to differentiate.
I say I do that sometimes just so people don't think I'm talking about me. Or AP. There were a lot of Amy's here all
There's
at once
a lot
at
of
one
Amy's.
Time. So.
Yeah, we had three of them at minimum. Yeah,
we did.
So we're with Amy, and she said the Shadowgun tries to get in here, but it can't. She said when the door is closed, we can't get in. She said we can't get in.
Mm-hmm.
She said the door is very important. And she said the shadow area, this is his area. He likes it over by the window. There he crumples up, he hunches, and he just waits. He waits, and then he'll crawl out the door and crawl down the hall and go fuck with people. He might be fucking crazy. Can you imagine just what she sees?
Yeah.
Just this creepy thing crawling. Remember a few episodes where she's seen all these things on the ceiling?
On the wall or hanging?
And they're like...
Yep.
How? Yep. No.
I want to go back to the shadow thing. When the door's closed... We can't get in is what they're saying.
Yep.
The door is very important. We talked about this last time in the last episode. There was a guy who was too big for the room he was in. And she was like, I don't know how he can even be in there. He's too big. And I was like, don't ghosts walk through walls? Yes. But I guess sometimes they can't get through a door. Now, I wonder if being that these people are sensitive.
Yeah.
I assume they know they're sensitive. I assume that they have looked into this a little bit. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I wonder if maybe she put salt on the door at some point. And so it can't get in that door.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah.
I just thought of that now. Otherwise, I would have put it in my notes. But yeah, it just kind of came to me like, I wonder if she's already taken some kind of measures so that it can't get in through the door.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with Three Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just-add-bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically-enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. Our go-to, the nightcap. It's like a hug from a friendly ghost. Smooth, dreamy, and perfect before bed. But don't sleep on the others. Each one has its own magic. You can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to 3spiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits, and maybe even the activity that continues. Do you hate ads? You might want to consider joining us over on Patreon. Tiers start at $3 a month, but all tiers get equal access with perks such as ad-free episodes that drop earlier than the public release, virtual happy hours where we swap ghost stories face-to-face, and other exclusive content like behind-the-scenes stuff, extras like bingo cards, and bloopers and outtakes too. Join our tight-knit, witchy, cool community that actually gets your paranormal memes. Creep on over to patreon.com/theactivitycontinues. We hope to see you in the haunted lounge.
Now we're digging through the archives. And Steve said, I don't doubt her testimony, which that's shocking.
I was like, that's new, Steve.
One thing he said that was really, really smart is wondering if the traumatic event of her childhood could be contributing to this somehow. And he said it might not be paranormal at all. Maybe it's psychological. And I thought that was really smart. Like, you know, how many studies have there been where it shows that trauma manifests to change your DNA?
Right.
That's why there's generational trauma. It changes your DNA and gets passed down.
That's crazy.
So we're meeting with Tanya, and she has a Midwest accent if I've ever heard one.
I didn't even notice.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. She was so Minnesotan or Midwest because they're in Michigan.
Yeah, they're in Michigan.
So she's a psychologist and or a psychiatrist. I forget which one.
She's a psychologist. You know how it gives them a first and last name, unlike last week when we had Remodeler One and a guy named Brad. This one, they did give her name.
Yeah, she was
and her profession.
So basically, Tanya is talking about how when you have post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, one of the ways that can manifest is called flashbacks. And I dated a guy in college who went to the Middle East, because this was in 2006, and he would wake up with horrible nightmares, like just would not want to be touched. He would wake up screaming. So it for sure, you know, happens. Then Steve said she's waking up with bruising. Could that manifest? And she said, well, individuals that suffer from borderline personality disorder would bruise or cut themselves for attention. And Amy, you had a good note here.
Well, I just thought in their sleep, I mean, people do self-harm.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that they do that in their sleep. I think they do that when they're awake so they can experience it.
But she could have, I mean, if she was, which she wasn't, but if somebody is self-harming, I mean, couldn't they write it off as that, oh, that happened in my sleep or.
Well, they could say that, I suppose. Yeah.
I mean, I get that. They could lie. Yeah. And so Steve said, what would I as an investigator look for in a person to see if they have that type of personality? And Dr. Tony said they have a hard time with their emotions and they like a lot of attention directed towards them. And Steve's like, no, she's the total opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then another weird part, I was like, all these parts are weird. Like,
well, originally, Steve says when he's talking about the scratching, he goes, okay, now here's the weird part. He talks about the scratching. And then after they discuss that Michelle and or Shayna are not the type to be, you know, attention seeking and blah, blah, blah. Then he goes, now this is the weird part. I'm like, I thought the other part was the weird part.
How many weird parts?
Yeah.
So then he's describing how Shayna has the same type of nightmares that Michelle has every night. Mm-hmm. And then Tanya just says, you know, essentially that could be just empathetic dreaming, or it could be because her mom has explained these events to her over and over and over again, and they're seeing the same things. Mm-hmm. And Steve said, well, could these cause bruises? And Dr. Tanya, Jesus.
I think it's Tonya.
It's right there, too.
Maybe it's Tanya. I never heard him say her first name.
Says, there's no clinical evidence I'm aware of that bruising and scratches just manifest themselves.
Right.
So now that eye roll was to me, because what the fuck is happening? I've spoken for 40 years of my life, and apparently I forgot how.
That's okay.
So now Amy's in an upstairs bedroom, possibly Shayna's, and she said, I'm seeing this living woman. It feels like she's losing her mind. This might be affecting what's affecting her heart. So I'm assuming she's talking about Michelle, because Michelle's the one that talked about the heart problems earlier. Mm-hmm. So now we're with Bethany Waterbury, a genealogist.
Not a gynecologist. Bingo
card. And so, yeah, we're in the history and we find the original owner, a man named Lafayette Peak. Turns out he suffered a lot during his time, losing 3 children, all under the age of 1. Mm-hmm. That doesn't even cover all of the children deaths in history.
Oh, yeah, we're not. We're just getting started.
Yeah, we're just, yeah. It's a great, like, oh my God. We could have a bingo on just the trauma in this episode.
I know. That's pretty bad.
So Lafayette Peak and his wife Harriet purchased the property in the 1860s. And along with his brother Theodore, they ran an apple orchard. Oh, that's cute.
That is cute.
That's Presh. That's so Presh. And then Steve, very empathetically and really kindly, says, 3 kids dying. I guess that's not uncommon back in the day. But you said that was just the start of his problems. What do you mean by that? I'm like, I feel like that's kind of enough. So in addition to Lafayette's 3 children dying, his brother Theodore and his wife Sally also had 5 children, and 3 of those children died as well. So between 10 kids, we're up to 6 kids dying. That is more than half. That is 60%, and that's numbers.
Very nice.
It's a lot of kids.
That's a lot of kids.
Granted, 1 child death is horrible, but 6?
Right.
6?
Yeah.
And then she goes, he does not take this very well, meaning Theodore, his 3 children dying. He doesn't take this very well. And I'm like, is there a good way to take it?
Yeah. I mean, he had
a mental breakdown of some sort. He was wandering through the streets. He was shouting and screaming and disturbing the neighbors, which, yeah, he lost 3 children. Is there a good way to take your children dying? Like, 1 child death is horrible, but 3 of your own children, and then your brother's 3, you live together. So I'm assuming you're basically like a mini commune raising these children together. Mm-hmm. So he was wandering through the streets. He was shouting and screaming, disturbing the neighbors. He had a mental breakdown. Mm-hmm. And his daughter, Theodore's daughter, filed a petition with the court asking him to be cleared insane and committed to the Kalamazoo State Hospital for treatment. Yeah. Now, what I thought was interesting is his daughter filed the petition. How old was his daughter? How far apart were these children? How soon after these children died did this happen?
And I did some research.
Okay.
As I do. We'll get to it later, but okay. I will tell you, if you look at the probate court for the County of Jackson, State of Michigan, there's a screenshot
of a petition. Yeah.
Yeah. And it says the matter of Theodore N. Peak. And then it just says alleged insane. Mm-hmm. And then under that, it says Addison V. Young having filed this in court, his petition. Addison V. Young is not the daughter. Addison V. Young is the person who filed this petition. And he does not have a daughter named Addison. And Addison is a real person who lived at that time in the County of Jackson.
Could it be his daughter's spouse?
No, because I found the guy and he's married to someone named Viola.
Oh, okay.
But we'll get more into that.
Okay.
But that is a point that I do not think that the daughter filed that petition.
So Steve said, what happened? Did he get committed? And he did not. One of his daughters, allegedly, petitioned the court to have her him released to her custody. So we got one daughter who's like, he's not, he's insane. Lock him up. The other daughter's like, oh my God, no, he's not. I'll let him live with me. Mm-hmm. He went to live with her until he died of a stroke several years later. Mm-hmm. So they bought the house in the 60s. So let's say he's, you know, 20 in the 60s. Mm-hmm. So that would make him, you know, 69 or so, 70. So the way that they made this, the way that they framed this is that his children died and then he instantly went insane. Mm-hmm. And it does not seem that way. Mm-mm. It does not. It seems like it took years and years and years. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
He might have just had dementia and they just didn't know what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. So Steve's like, well, God, that's a really sad story. And Bethany goes, well, that's not where it ends. I also located several other individuals related to the family, but not necessarily by blood. They were neighbors who had various forms of mental illness. And so Steve said, well, you know, mental illness runs in families, but Bethany goes, it seems to have run in this neighborhood, mm-hmm. which is a very interesting sentence. Mm-hmm.
That makes me wonder if there's like something in the water, something mm-hmm. in the soil, mm-hmm. you know, that was making people goofed up, unless it is something paranormal, but
right.
Well, right. Actually, yeah, we do find out that it's something that's not that, like, I mean, I obviously there's paranormal, but
is it paranormal?
Could it be paranormal?
God, maybe.
What's
I don't know.
But no, I was thinking minutes. Like these are the people that they go back to in history. So these would be the ghosts, mm-hmm. but actually Amy does see something that's not.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get there.
So then we're back to Amy, and she said, I see this man. I think he lived here, and he's mentally ill. This person feels crazy. This house, it caused people to go insane. And so yep. now we meet Craig Whitford, mm-hmm. a historian. Mm-hmm. And Steve says, during my research, I came across something that caught my eye. There was a huge legal battle over Dan and Michelle's property, and when I called a local historian, he said it involved betrayal, death, and insanity.
Oh, my.
I was like, oh my, damn, Steve. And so he meets Craig, and Craig's like, well, it's quite an involved case. The property was owned by John and Maria Stitt. And between the two of them, they had a daughter named Rosa. They didn't roll her R's. That's just mm-mm. me being fancy. They just mm-hmm. said Rosa. Mm-hmm. But I'm fancy. Okay. So interesting timeline, because John was not the most faithful of husbands, which they tend not to be. And after 20 years of marriage, Maria had decided she'd had enough. And in 1887, she filed for a divorce. And I'm like, I did not know a woman could file for divorce in 1887.
I didn't either.
She must have had irrefutable evidence.
Yeah.
But even then, I mean, yeah. I don't know. I don't know the laws of divorce in the 1880s. Shockingly. Right. I missed that day in history class. So 1887, she files for divorce. That same year, not a good year for old Johnny boy. He is sued by his neighbor, Albert Blackmore. Oh my God, for alienating his wife's affections.
Which we'll get to that too. I thought that was very confusing. Alienating his wife's affections. First of all, his wife, Albert's wife, or yes. John's wife?
Albert's wife.
And alienating his wife's affection, that means leaving her alone. Alienating her,
I think,
means...
But if you pair them together, alienating his wife's affections, that's the phrase. He's alienating his wife's affections from Albert.
That He's, is, I mean...
It's very confusing, but...
I will, there's more to this. We'll get to it later. But I mean, yeah, I was like, English, that doesn't make any sense to me.
From an English literature standpoint, which is my degree, which is very useful, it is a very nicely phrased sentence in terms of, not nicely phrased as an understandable, but it's a very good use of words.
Sure. Even if they're not in the right place.
They are in the right place, though. Alienating. Anyways. So that's
doesn't make sense to me.
That's okay. A lot of things don't make sense to me. And I, yeah. So Steve goes, so he's going after this guy's wife. And I'm like, that's how they should have said it.
Yeah.
And Craig goes, he is. Yeah. And Steve's like, well, how's that work out? Not great. Well, I mean, for a little bit. So they settle out of court financially, and then John marries Elizabeth Blackmore, the woman whose affections he alienated from his wife. Then Elizabeth has adopted an African-American child who's 14 years old, and her name is Etta. And uh-oh, guys, not much time goes by. And then now John is going after Etta. Keeping it in the family.
That's
fucking
right.
Gross. She's 14. She is 14 years old.
Yeah.
And this guy's like, I like that. And then Steve goes, this guy's a real piece of work. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good way of saying it.
Yep.
And then Elizabeth in 1898 develops liver and breast cancer, which how did they know that back then?
I don't know.
Like, that's a legit question.
Yeah, that is. I don't know how they knew that. I don't know
like
how.
Like breast cancer, I could maybe see if she found a lump or something. But how do you know that you have liver cancer?
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't have mammograms back then, I'm pretty sure. So
they didn't have, you know, CT scans or x-rays to check the liver.
Right. I don't know.
I know
x-rays. That's a good question for any doctors that might know.
Yeah. So 1898, she's diagnosed. She passes away in 1902. And conveniently, now that leaves Etta and John all together in their little love home. John passes away, though, within weeks of his wife's death, and he's found in Etta's bed. So, and the article is gross. I'm not going to use the word that they use.
Yeah.
But the article titles, "Is Strange Will Contest in Michigan? C-word servant held to have estranged shrewd man." I thought that they adopted her, but now she's a servant?
I looked that up too. I'll get to that later.
Like, it just doesn't make sense.
None of it makes any sense.
No. And Craig said for a small town that it was scandalous. I'm like, I feel like that's scandalous for any size town.
Yeah, it is.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So now Craig said this is where the lawsuit begins. So John's biological daughter, Rosa, she felt very slighted by this. And basically, Rosa states she's contesting the will. And in her contestation, she said her father was so overcome with passion for Etta, the 14-year-old, that he rewrote his will. So even if that was the case, he's fucking dead.
Gross.
Like, what? He's fucking dead. He did that himself. You're saying it right there. He rewrote his will right there in your sentence. Your sentence structure matters, people. You are claiming that he rewrote it. Ergo, he's the one that made the change. Ergo, he approved the change. Ergo, it is good. Should have been a lawyer. Look at all those ergos.
Look at that.
So Steve said to Craig, you mentioned on the phone it was a little bit of insanity. And he goes, I guess that came talking about him being under her influence. Jesus Christ. She was 14.
Yeah.
He was not under her influence. She was a child. He was a disgusting pervert. He was under her influence. What? Her influence by existing? By being a child girl, well, a girl child?
That says more about him than it does her.
I know, but you didn't like the way...
He could have been under her influence. He saw it that way. But that didn't mean she did anything to make that happen.
Right. It reminds me of the Jocanda, speaking of my favorite person in the entire world. Jocanda, along with Pitbull. Jocanda... In his series, he announces he knew he was ready to retire when he was interviewing this old man who was accused of sexually assaulting like a 5-year-old. And the old man, you know, Joe was asking like, what happened? And the old man said, well, he came on to me. And that's when Joe said he walked out of the room and he wrote his resignation that day. And that's when he resigned because he said he wanted to jump across the table and kill this guy. And that's what it reminds me of. Like, In his stupid, disgusting, perverted mind, he probably thought she was coming on to him by existing. And in the end, Etta wins. She wins the case. You know, Rosa appealed on two occasions and she lost. So. So we're back with Amy and she said, the image I'm seeing is really strange. This is that weird fucking creature falling oddly down the hall. I don't know what it is really. And then Amy said a voiceover and says, I can't figure out what the shadow creature is or where it came from, but I know that it has been here for a very long time and its goal is to torment living people. Matt says, does it interact physically? And Amy says, yes, it makes people kind of crazy. So now we're in the sketch. And, you know, we have Amy's voiceover. I ain't counting many entities in my walk, but two stood out the most. And she's describing the creepy guy who's whispering to the living man in the house. And then she describes the shadow creature. And she said, there's this thing in this hallway. Its skin is really smooth, gray-brown kind of color. And I was like, fucking hate that.
Mm-mm.
Let's not do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Amy, is this what you saw? Yes. So, did not like that.
Yeah. And then she, this was another thing that, like, a callback to the last episode. She says it's coming down the hallway and it had to be on all fours because it's so large. And I just said that I wondered if that ghost from the last episode that we did would ever try that because he had trouble getting out of the door.
Great. So now I needed that image in my head. Thank you so much. So this reveal is Amy is queen of the facial expressions in this reveal because she has so many good ones.
She did.
So they sit down. Steve's like, here's Michelle, her husband Dan, here's her kids, bleep, bloop, blop. And then Amy said, when I got here, I entered the house and it was extremely chaotic energy, especially in the basement. She said, when I went down there, I saw all of these dead people. There was about 50 of them. And then Amy said, the scary thing is that all of these dead people are negative.
Mm-hmm.
There is not one good person in there. And that is horrifying. And Amy said, one of the things that also seems to be constant throughout the walk was the feeling of people thinking they are losing their minds. They are going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so Steve is like, well, you guys have pretty bad mood swings. And I do think that mood swings can be paranormal, but I don't think they're always paranormal.
No, they're not always
paranormal. And I don't think having a mood swing in and of itself is enough to constitute a paranormal issue. Right. Like, I've had like 5 mood swings today. I woke up fucking bitchy as hell, crabby as fuck, took 5 naps, got a woodpecker of a headache. I don't know.
Yes. And it's not the only thing they've had experienced either.
And
but
again, completely believe these two. Like, completely believe them. There's not a doubt in my mind, but I just think that's weak sauce there.
Yeah.
So yeah, Dan says we'll be, you know, happy and loving. We're a strong couple. We come in and then we're fighting instantly. And then Steve talks about his research. Turns out there's a long history of mental illness in the 1860s. He talks about Lafayette and Theodore. They lost their brother or their children. And then there was another guy that lived here by the name of John Stitt. Apparently this guy was a womanizer. Pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
He had an ex-wife. He had a daughter. He has an affair with his neighbor's wife. He ends up marrying her. That is not the right order, Steve.
We don't. Well, and also we don't call. No. Oh, he did have a daughter and then had an affair with his neighbor and then ended up marrying her.
Oh, that part is right. That is the right order.
I was thinking the affair he was talking about was with the child. But
me
that
too.
He says that in the next sentence.
Yeah. Which that is not an affair. That is rape.
No. Exactly.
That is rape.
Yep.
I cannot understand. Even today, we have people who think 16, 17-year-olds are young women. No, that's a child.
Mm-hmm.
That is a child.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you know who is trying to change the age of consent to 16
right.
so that the 17-year-old that he raped is not going to be, that you can't
eligible.
Call him that. Yeah.
And let's look at the fact that there are grown-ass men trying to change the age of consent.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take a closer look at that.
Yeah.
That is sick. Sick.
Yep.
They are children.
Yep.
Children. You're telling me that a 14-year-old can have an affair with somebody? No, their brain isn't even developed.
Especially somebody who's in his 60s.
Fuck off.
Which he was
at the
time.
Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck all the way off.
Yep.
I'm so upset by that. This is 2026.
Mm-hmm.
We are 100 and... How many years later after this? And it's still happening.
Yeah.
100 and some. Math, guys, I'm not a math teacher.
I'm done. I can't correct you.
Okay. So Amy said, that all makes sense. When I made it to the foot of the stairs, I saw a woman with long brown hair and she was panicking. I could feel her fear and she felt extremely overwhelmed. And Amy said, or Steve said, well, that's somebody that's living. And she said, yes. She developed some type of heart issue. And Michelle said, I actually had a period of time, which I didn't think was important. And I didn't mention to anybody that she was blacking out. She had to go through a whole bunch of heart tests. And they told her that she had neuromyocardiosyncope.
Yep.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Do you know what that is? Did you look that up?
I did.
Oh, thank God. This is why Amy's the boss and I'm just a minion.
A minion?
I'm a minion. But so Amy said that's very common with sensitive, and unfortunately for mediums, we can attract things that aren't particularly good. And Steve said, you think she's sensitive? And Amy goes, yeah, the house is full of them. Full of them.
Full of them.
And then this is so hard. Amy said, one of the other things I got was the female was at some point in her life abused by a male and is having a very difficult time letting that experience go. And Steve goes, I'm sorry, sweetie. I didn't want to bring it up at the table.
I know.
And I'm like, oh, this is, we miss this, Steve.
I know.
The only thing missing in this episode was a hanky.
Yeah, that was a little too early for that, I think.
Yeah. So that's when Michelle talked about what she talked about. I'm not going to bring it up again. We've already talked about it. And then Dan said he has since committed suicide. And Amy's face was like,
I took a screenshot.
Yeah, it was perfect. And then Steve goes, why do you have a big reaction like that? And Amy goes, I ran into a person in the basement and I referred to him as the creeper. He's very disturbed and he attempts to make the living here do bad things, make them feel like they're going crazy. She said he did not die long ago and I did get that he killed himself. And then Michelle is just like, oh my God.
Yeah. Can you imagine learning in this reveal that your tormentor is living in your house?
He's dead and you're still not free of him.
Living, quotes. Yeah. He's... Yeah. But I wonder if the fact that she can't, I don't want to say she can't let it go, like Amy said, but, you know, come to peace with it or, you know, do what she needs to do in therapy to get, I don't want to say get over it, but.
Because you don't get over it. You learn to exist with it. It's like a death. You never get over it. You just learn to live with
it. But I'm wondering if the fact that she is holding on to it helps him stay in the house.
Or does him staying in the house make her hold on to it?
Yeah, it could be a chicken and
egg. I mean, it's
thing.
Like chicken and egg, exactly. Mm-hmm. So Steve looked into it to figure out how this person died. Mm-hmm. And he went into a parking lot, broke the tailpipe off, turned on the heat, windows closed, and was found dead. And to me, I just wish it had been more violent. I'm sorry, but like...
I don't think it would have made any difference. He died. It didn't make any... I don't think it
I know, but
difference.
It was a peaceful way to die. It was a you're going to sleep. I wish you would have done something worse to himself because he deserved worse than that. She was 3 and 4 years old.
He'll get it.
Thank God.
He'll get it eventually. I have to mention though that Steve when he said, and the caveat to the whole thing, he just came home from babysitting. And I noted, I don't think that word means what you think it means.
You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
That is not.
I think he meant irony. I think he meant irony.
Yeah, I think he meant irony. Yeah, Alanis.
So this is when Michelle tells Amy about the attacks, that she has nightmares, that she's being chased because she was when she was little. Mm-hmm. And she'll wake up with fingerprints and bruises on her thighs. And Amy's, again, face is like, wow. Mm-hmm. And then Michelle says she gets scratched. And then her daughter, Shayna, came and said that she felt like somebody was trying to assault her and has woken up with similar bruises. And they're unexplainable. And so that's when he presents the photos of Shayna and Michelle and their scratches. And then he talks about the psychologist and having nightmares is totally explainable with PTSD. And Amy says, yes, absolutely. But the bruising is not. And then that's when Amy did a sketch of the creeper guy. And it is very, very scary. And I will say the sketch of the man looks like Dan.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's a little bit heavier than Dan was. Yeah. Dan did not see, but the face, the shape of the face is the same. The hairstyle is the same. Mm-hmm. To me, it looks like Dan. Mm-hmm.
And she said that the guy, the creeper whispering.
The spirit,
did look like, reminded her of the guy. Yep.
And that's what Amy said. Well, the strange thing about him is he's not hurting the woman here. He's aiming towards the males. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to plant harmful thoughts in their heads and make them, you know, commit suicide. And Dan says, well, he'll never be successful. And I get what he's saying, but I'm sure people who have died by suicide at one point in their life said, well, I'll never do that.
Yeah.
Because their brain doesn't work right. Mm-hmm. Like, your brain is tricking you. Mm-hmm. But we also need to understand that people who have died by suicide have probably thought that same thing. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up because their brain tricks them.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to point that out. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then we hear about the blade landing on his foot. And the date was September 11th, mm-hmm. 2005, which I thought was very interesting. I don't know if there's any correlation, but so basically he said, I set the saw down, I levitated and chopped off three of my toes. And we got a picture of that too. Yeah. So great. Thanks so much for saying that again.
Yeah.
And then Amy said, there is something else here that might be doing the major damage. And she said, I did a sketch of it, which is great. This sketch is terrifying. This sketch is so scary to me.
It is really creepy.
It is basically a blob mm-hmm. with a head, no eyes, no nose, and it looks like Q-Bert's mouth.
Oh, yeah. It looks kind of like a tube.
Yeah.
Kind of. And then
it's
got like
claws. Mm-hmm. It's taking up the entire hallway and it's mm-hmm. crawling towards somebody. Mm-hmm. And Amy's like, it's not really a good situation. So this thing, she says it's never been human. It's been wreaking havoc around this area for quite some time. It caused people to go insane. And Steve said, well, could it cause what happened to the Peaks and the Stits? And she said, yes. And then she said, from a Christian standpoint, you would call it the devil. There are many of them all over the world, and they are much more powerful than demons.
Which I thought was really interesting, because uh-huh. I wouldn't think the devil. When I hear the devil, I think that's one person.
What exactly?
One being. Not,
yeah.
There's many devils
many
all over.
Many of them.
Yeah. I can get behind, you know, understanding that there are many demons.
Yes.
Because I thought it was devil up here.
Yeah.
And then demons were like their minions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But apparently that's not it.
Yeah.
So
Amy says, whatever it is that scares you, whatever it is that will harm you, it's going to provide it to you.
Mm-hmm. Which is like it. Stephen King's
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm. And so Steve said, so this guy here, pointing to the person who died by suicide, did this devil bring him? And Amy said, I think it's likely. And then Michelle, oh my God, she said she's worried how if this is something we can't get rid of, how am I ever going to be free of that? And Steve goes, now, Dan, when we spoke, you said you'd do anything to protect your family. Now we're going to see what it's going to take to protect your wife and daughter. And I thought it was interesting he didn't include his son. Again, unless his son isn't being affected. But she said this devil will go after the males.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
So Amy did say that if they stay here, there's a lot of things they need to do. She said, you have the devil, you have the creeper, you have the 50 dead people. She said you would have to hit everything simultaneously. So she would recommend a minister and a Wiccan. And basically the Wiccan priest or priestess will do a cleansing and a banishment. And the minister would do a blessing and basically pushing everything out. And Amy said, you're not getting rid of the devil. Mm-hmm. And Steve said, so you're saying it will stay inside the house? And Amy said, no, they would push it to their property line. Mm-hmm. So it will be outside of their house, but it's going to keep him in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so once the minister and the Wiccan come and they do what they need to do, how do they keep him away from there? How do they keep the dead away from there? And then Amy said, well, I would suggest is once a week you go out, put a mixture of salt and holy water in a regular spray bottle, and you're just spraying the perimeter all around the window ledges, the doors. And she said, I would be very surprised if anything in the house happens to you once you're doing all this. Mm-hmm. And then Michelle, she goes, I'm disappointed in myself that I brought this to your family. And Dan steps up and he said, no, this was here before we got here.
Yeah. And Amy said, you can't blame yourself.
Yeah. And Amy told her too, like, you need therapy. Like, mm-hmm. you need to go to therapy for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so they do everything that they did. And they followed, Michelle and Dan followed Amy's advice. And the activity is mostly stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
It was a good one. It was tough. But, I mean, this whole family, they've just been ravaged by this thing. And Michelle's dealing with, I'm sure, guilt over what happened to her. Because... who wouldn't be, even though she was a baby?
Right.
Fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was a really good one. Yeah.
I would like to talk to the clients
I would too.
Yeah. I think that would be nice.
They were delightful.
So.
They were so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They were so calm. They were just, I mean, I don't know if I would say calm. I would just say beaten down. You know, Michelle was very much like, I don't know what else to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dan just felt awful for his wife and his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've heard it time and time and time again.
Yeah.
How do you fight something you can't see? Mm-hmm. How do you protect yourself and your family from something that you can't physically attack?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Well, Amy gives lots of ways how to do that.
She's
and sometimes
best.
People take her advice and they're much better off, like this group.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't do anything.
Yeah.
They don't
just
listen
want
at all.
You to read their father's book. never fails.
Oh,
all
Brittany.
Right.
It's time for Research and Rabbit Holes, where the facts get weirder and the ghosts get louder. Okay, so I did find Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to share the address or any info about her, but I did find her. And I have not reached out to her yet. But Michelle, if you're listening and would like to talk to us about your time on the Dead Files, please let us know at theactivitycontinues@gmail.com. We would love to talk to you.
We would love to talk to you.
Or your husband, your children, mm-hmm. whatever. I did look up. I found the kids and everything, too, just from like a Google search or whatever. And the kids are 28 and 29 now. So isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Grown ass adults.
Well, this was in 2014.
Yeah, it was
so 12 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Oh, my God.
I know. Okay, so the Peak family.
Mm-hmm.
Theodore and
Lafayette.
Lafayette, they make it sound like he was the first person they're talking about, like he's supposed to be the most important one. He really had nothing to do with most of this. I mean, he had some kids that died, and so did his brother. His brother's the one that had all this shit going on.
Yeah.
So, as I mentioned before, it said Theodore's daughter filed this petition to have him committed at the Kalamazoo State Hospital. I love saying Kalamazoo.
I know.
So I did not find this family, any of them, on Find a Grave, which is where I usually find people, but I did find them on FamilySearch.org.
Okay.
And this probate letter where the daughter tried to have him convicted shows her name as Addison V. Young, because that's what it says. But if you look closely, it says, having filed in said court, his petition,
mm-hmm.
his, not hers.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked up Addison V. Young, mm-hmm. and I did find a man.
Was he a neighbor?
I think he might have been a neighbor. Yeah.
Okay.
Or, I mean, I did find the man. He was around there at the same time, but this is his petition. This was not filed by the daughter of Theodore, whoever that may be.
Yeah.
So I don't know which daughter tried to have him committed, if that's even true.
Mm-hmm.
But I did consider that. I wonder if Addison was a neighbor who was like annoyed with him wandering around town shouting at people.
Yeah. Fair.
So, yeah.
I would be if my neighbor did that.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd try and have him committed, but I might, see if we can get some help for him.
Yeah.
Or move, I don't know. But anyway, so John and Maria Stitt, there mm-hmm. are two John Stitts in town, which I found was weird. But I did find the right one.
Oh, no, he only had a daughter. All right. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wondered if one could be a son, but no, he only had a daughter.
Yeah, no, I think, and he did have siblings, but, they weren't named John, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did find him, though, through Albert Blackmore. I searched for Albert Blackmore, found his wife, which then when I clicked on her, I got to John.
Mm-hmm.
There is no mention at all of Maria having to do with John Stitt.
Okay.
However, when you look at John's profile, it has his daughter, Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
So I clicked on Rosa and found mm-hmm. her mother, whose mm-hmm. name was Mariah. Not Maria. Mariah. M-A-R-I-A-H.
Oh, okay.
Mariah Fisher.
Yeah.
So that's what that is. And then John married Elizabeth, the one he was shtipping, his neighbor's wife.
I believe you meant alienating her.
Yeah. I'll get to that. So his find a grave just mm-hmm. shows his wife, mm-hmm. not Maria, only Elizabeth and Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't show this Etta, who was the adopted daughter.
Yeah.
Marina doesn't show anything about that. So I'm wondering if she was not actually illegally adopted and maybe she just moved in with them.
Yeah, maybe.
And when you look at Elizabeth, there's no children connected to her at all. Mm-hmm. When she's married to Albert, they don't have any children.
Mm-hmm.
So I did find him on Find a Grave too.
Albert?
Albert, yeah. Nothing special except that it just shows that he did not have any children with Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. So if she adopted that girl, she adopted her after, I think, mm-hmm. after she was married to Albert.
John.
Albert. Albert was her first husband. And then she married John, and they said that she adopted this.
The way that they made it sound was she adopted her after she married John.
Well, she could have, but can a woman back then adopt somebody on her own, even when she's married to somebody?
That's fair. That's
so
fair.
So I assume she brought that daughter to the relationship.
Yeah.
Which now makes me think that maybe she was a servant for the Blackmores, and then she came with her. Mm-hmm. So here we are at Etta Meekins. Her name is Meekin, not Mecklin. Mm-hmm. Just a little correction here. Actually, I still don't know what her real name is. I did do some more research on this after I talked to Megan, and I signed up for a newspapers.com account just so I could do research on this because it was driving me nuts. The historian called her Mecklin. The will contestation, if that's a word, called her Meekins. And the newspapers called her Micken, M-I-C-K-E-N. So TBD, still don't know what her actual name is. Craig, he said it was Mecklin.
Mecklin.
And I watched it over and over again, and I watched his mouth. He said Mecklin. Mm-hmm. And he shows the letter that John's daughter wrote after John died, and Etta was the recipient of all the goods from the will. And
who then showed the letter?
Craig, the historian.
Did. Okay. I must have missed that, yeah.
Yeah, he showed this letter, and it says right in there that her name is Etta Meekins.
So Craig showed the letter stating that Etta received all of the property.
Yeah.
Or he showed the letter that Rosa wrote. Okay, that Rosa wrote. Okay, yeah. I was confused.
And
that is easy to do.
And in that letter, she mentions Etta Meekins, not Mecklin. So dude got the name wrong.
Yeah.
Or they did it on purpose to try and hide her, which doesn't shock me because if you look at the picture of the article that Steve had, he's got his big fat thumb over the center of it.
Yeah, he does.
And the second I saw that, I said, he's covering something.
Yeah.
Because right underneath where it says like the town, Jackson County, Jackson County, big thumb.
Yep.
I think he was covering her name.
He might have been. Yeah.
Anyway, so I noted that I feel like she was erased. Mm-hmm. So Morgan and I, AI, were both unsuccessful in finding a copy of this article. Mm-hmm. So I can't, but I can read parts of it. Just a couple notes about the historian and the genealogist versus the research I found. So Craig Whitford said that the adopted daughter of the Stiths was Etta Mecklin. It's Meekins. It's even in the letter he had in his hand.
Yeah.
He gave a different reason for the lawsuit than the papers did.
Really?
Both quoting as if they were talking about the lawsuit, but they're different. Whitford said sued him for alienating his wife's affections.
Yeah.
I found a story in the newspaper that in Ingham County News.
Okay.
It's the quote of the reason was poisoning the affections of his wife, which makes a lot more sense to me. Because to me, that means that John was paying attention to Elizabeth or stooping her. And so she was no longer interested in her own husband.
See, to me, they both make sense. Alienating her affections, like, to me, that makes perfect sense. But poisoning makes sense, too.
But alienating something means pushing it away, leaving it alone, doesn't
it? Yeah, he was alienating her affections from her husband. So he was causing her to push her husband away and go to him.
Yeah, I know that's what it means, but those words don't make sense in my head. Anyway, so Craig, historian, said she was African-American. The papers called her mulatto, which is a gross word for mixed race.
Yep.
And that leads me to wonder, because I have a true crime brain, under what circumstances would his wife, Elizabeth, adopt her? And so I wondered if she was maybe a result of
an affair
with her first husband and maybe their servant. Mother, I don't know. Just a speculation. Just making it
or
up.
Or I was thinking it was more a result of an affair between Elizabeth and somebody.
Oh, that could have been too.
Because to me, if my husband had an affair that resulted in a child and I left that marriage, I would not take that child with me.
Yeah. Well, they might have, maybe she's got a bigger heart than I do. But
yeah.
Yeah. And I noted that I think it's interesting that he makes a point of saying that Elizabeth adopted Etta, not that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering also where they adopted her from.
Mm-hmm.
Just one more little note here in my additional research I did. I did find out that Etta was an orphan. So I don't think her mother lived or worked at the home as well. I think she just worked there. I don't know how she became their servant, but she was, according to the newspapers, the articles about the trial.
Yeah.
The papers refer to Etta as a servant, not an adopted daughter. So we only have the historian's word on the fact that she was a daughter.
But I also wonder if this, if they reported it as a servant because it was unheard of for somebody to adopt a daughter who was
could be
not their same race.
Yeah, it could be.
There's a lot of
options. Yeah. All right. So the other thing about this letter that Rosa wrote regarding the will and how she thought she deserved the money and not Etta. If you look at it, you can see that there, the name Elizabeth A, which is the wife, anytime that's mentioned, it is handwritten in. But it's not like written in the margins. It's there's a space.
Yeah.
I wonder like if they left like a blank
template?
And then they filled it in. But it has her last name. It says by influence unduly exerted by blank Stitt. The wife of said John Stitt. But then they wrote in Elizabeth A in two places.
Yeah. Interesting.
So that's strange to me.
Yeah.
So.
That is strange.
That's what I found on those things. Now, neuromyocardial syncope, also known as vasovagal syncope, is a common type of fainting, which is what syncope means apparently. Where the body overreacts to triggers like stress, pain, or prolonged standing, causing a sudden drop in heart rate and blood pressure, leading to temporary reduced blood flow to the brain and a brief loss of consciousness.
Which could have, she said she blacked out.
Yep.
So.
And it says that treatment focuses on trigger avoidance and lifestyle changes. I've had that. I stand up and I get real dizzy and I almost pass out, but I don't actually pass out. This was an actual thing, not just what I had, but I know that feeling of when you stand up too quick and you your blood pressure drops and you're like, ooh. I used to get that all the time. When I was skinnier, I did. I don't anymore.
Trust me, I don't suffer from that now. Don't you worry.
No. And then I tried to look up the neighbor babysitter molester. I could not find anything on him.
Good.
But I did want to note that caveat means a warning or proviso of specific situations, stipulations, congestions, or limitations.
Is it a noun or a verb or an adjective? I would think an adjective.
It's a noun.
Oh, it's a noun.
It's a noun. That's what it says. That's what that's what the Goog said.
Well, the Goog is never wrong.
That's right. So, yeah, I was unable to find anything about this. Mostly when I typed in what Steve said about the, you know, broke off the tailpipe, turned on the heat, August, windows closed. Yeah. And it said, it sounds like you're looking up ways to commit suicide. I can't help you with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so then I went to Morgan and I said, because that was just Google.
Right.
And I went to Morgan and I said, I'm trying to do this on Google and it's not letting me because it thought I was trying to look for advice on suicide tactics or whatever. And so it wouldn't let me. And I said, what I'm trying to do, and here's the thing, and this is the guy, and he was a molester and blah, blah, blah. I just want to know if there's any articles about him in the newspapers at the time. And they were like, well, I can look, but I can't give you anything more about the method of suicide. I'm like, I don't want that. I don't care.
I don't want it.
I just want to know who this person was, which I probably wouldn't even find out who because he was underage.
A minor.
A child. Yeah. So I wouldn't have been able to find anything. Which, and that's fine. I wouldn't have said his name even if we found it. But
yeah,
I just wanted to see if there was more to it.
Which think about what he would have, what it would have happened if he had gotten to an adult. If he was already doing that as a minor.
Yeah. Oh, when he became an adult, you mean? Yeah.
and yeah. what he would have done.
Yeah.
So I'm really. Very glad that he and died.
Honestly, I got to say, though, somebody who's acting like that at 16, 17, which is what I assumed he old he was, something like that's happened to him, too.
I'm sure.
Just saying. Yeah. It's not doesn't make it okay. It doesn't yeah. excuse it. Mm-hmm. But that usually that happens.
Yeah. Usually. Yeah.
All right. That's all I got.
Oops, so that was a good one.
Next week.
Yeah. What are we doing next week?
Next week. I chose the next episode that we're covering. And since these two last ones that we did centered around mental health, I decided to pick one more that had a mental health aspect. Kind of make a series out of it. Series of three. So I chose Betrayed, which is from season 2, episode 13. It originally aired March 8th, 2013. The synopsis that I found, and I honestly don't remember where I found it. It was in my spreadsheet, is Steve and Amy investigate a family in Egg Harbor, New Jersey, who believes their house is being haunted by an evil entity. Through research, Steve says he discovers evidence that in the late 1800s, a nearby health spa that was really a sanatorium was run by an allegedly insane doctor named Dr. Smith, who believed he found the fountain of youth. So another reason I picked this one is that it seemed like there would be a lot of interesting stuff to research for our research and rabbit hole segment. So that's what we're doing next time. So just a reminder to everybody out there, if there is a Dead Vows episode that you would really like us to cover, please go to, I have a link to our spreadsheet that you can go to and just comment on the one that you want us to cover with your name and we will cover it and you'll get a shout out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. That's all we got for you guys.
That's all we got.
Thank you. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds podcast network.
This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with the Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.